Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, A Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Alice G. I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Wisconsin. Today is January 6, 2022. This is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book and we are on page 158. First paragraph, next day found the prospect more receptive and we are reading that one paragraph only. Today's readers are Penny L. C., Rachel P. is going to do page 164, Jody E. is our backup, Mary B. is our newcomer greeter, announcements Shelley E., and Linda B. is doing the 12 steps for us, and Joanne L. is the 12 traditions. OA preamble. Oh, I'm sorry. The reference numbers for Wednesday, January 5th, 10 a.m. meeting is 18,360. That's 18360. And the 7 a.m. meeting for today, the reference number for Thursday, January 6th, 7 a.m. meeting is 18,364. That's 18364. OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Linda B. to read the 12 steps for us, please.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Linda B., a compulsive overeater. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And thank you for allowing me this opportunity, and I will pass.
Thank you, Linda. I will now ask Joanne L. to read the 12 traditions, please.
Good morning, Alice. Thank you for your service. Good morning, world, because we are the world on this line here. My name is Joanne L., and I'm from Rhode Island, in the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, least problems of money, property, and prestige. My primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain for professional, but our services may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized. 10, create service boards directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name, ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, a public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I pass, and have a wonderful day.
Thank you, Joanne. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinent requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what is read. We are sharing on what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press *1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, please let us know by saying pass and then press *1 to mute your phone again. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book in the chapter A Vision for You, page 158, the first paragraph, next day. And that paragraph only is what we're reading. And I will ask Penny L.C. to begin reading for us, please.
Good morning, Alice, and good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny L.C., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. Next day found the prospect more receptive. He had been thinking it over. Maybe you're right, he said. God ought to be able to do anything. Then he added, he sure didn't do much for me when I was trying to fight this booze racket alone. And in this very short paragraph, I can see and relate in completely. You know, I'd been on my journey. I'd been doing all kinds of research within my disease. And finally, it brought me to my knees enough that I needed to check something else out and find another way. So my disease had been my greatest teacher. But finally, I was willing to be in that place of yielding and to consider a new way of operating in thought and behavior. So in these lines, we hear that this fellow is willing to admit, you know, he's willing to take step one here and admit that maybe he is powerless and maybe there might be, you know, some way to help his unmanageable life. And even going so far then is to take step two by believing that maybe, yes, God ought to be able to do anything. Maybe if I believe, you know, God could help. And I know that those were big decisions for me to make and big choices to surrender my will and be willing to look to a higher power for a solution. But heaven only knows, I had tried, I'd tried so many things and kept thinking I needed to try harder, kept thinking it was my fault, kept thinking, you know, it has to be my effort. And it never worked, you know. And so when another idea was presented to me, in this case, you know, the 12 steps of recovery, I had to be willing to admit that maybe this could be another way that could work. And so in total, I look at this paragraph and I can see the how of it, as is explained in another location in the Big Book, the how, the honesty, the openness and the willingness, you know, the honesty to admit his truth, the openness to a solution of reliance on a higher power, and a willingness to ask for support. Grateful that we all have a chance to be at this crossroads and to make a choice that could change our lives. It sure has changed mine. Thank you for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Penny. We will now start with sharing. So although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others may have a chance to share their experience too. So I will take a list of names.
Bruce.
Hi, may I do it?
Bruce.
Cynthia C.
Ewing G.
Wendy. Danielle W.
Cynthia C.
Okay, I've got Bruce and Cynthia C. If you can give an Elaine. Who else would like to share today?
Danielle
Wendy
W.
B. Danielle
Jody
W.
A.
There was one name I missed between Danielle and Jody H.
Lorraine E.
Lorraine E.
Wendy B.
Is that Cindy B?
Wendy.
Wendy, thank you.
Barbara W.
Barbara W. All right, I think we'll stop there and start with Bruce. Bruce, if you could give the first initial of your last name when you share, that would be great. And if everyone could press star one so Bruce can share, please. Thank you. Bruce, would you like to share today? Maybe I heard that name wrong.
Okay, I'm unmuted. Thank you.
All right.
Thanks for your patience here. It's Bruce E. I'm recovered in Florida. And I read this over yesterday. I'd read it previously, too. But I didn't see a couple of... I saw one thing yesterday that I want to comment on, but something I really didn't see that I'd like to comment on about this reading. Of course, this is an outstanding reading here, and this is AA number 3, so Bill and Bob had visited him the day before, and it says now next day, which is the next day after they visit him, the prospect more receptive. Next day found the prospect more receptive. He had been thinking it over. Okay, so the guy maybe had thought about it all night, I don't know, or part of the night anyway, and probably slept pretty good finally, and then he's really thinking about this thing. He's thinking over. He's thinking about what they said, I guess, and thinking over his life here and thinking, well, maybe there is some hope for me. Maybe he's thinking that. And he says, well, maybe you're right. You know, he says, oh. You know, so he's coming around here. His thoughts are coming around. And he said, God ought to be able to do anything. Then he adds, he sure didn't do much for me when I was trying to fight this booze racket alone. So I absolutely believe that. God ought to be able to do anything. If he's God, he can do anything, right? he may not, he's not my servant, he's not my slave, but I'm his servant, right? But he's not a genie I pull out of the bottle and ask him to do a bunch of stuff and then put him back in a bottle. It's different than that, but he can do, God can do anything because he's God. Okay, but he sure didn't do much for me when I was trying to fight the booze racket alone. Well, that's true of me on the food. When I was trying to fight this food racket alone, he wasn't doing much for me, you know, because I was praying and, you know, doing everything I could to, you know, get him to do this stuff. But I was still doing it alone. You know, I wasn't doing it like in concert with him or in partnership with him. I was alone. When I was alone, it wasn't happening. So I don't know if God's not there when I'm alone. I guess he's still there. But I have to turn to him and stop. So alone is self-centeredness, self-seekingness, and that sort of thing, right? That's the self. That's all the self. Doing it alone, I'm doing it myself. But I got to turn to him and ask him to help me to do this thing. You know, so I'm doing that today. So I did third step prayer this morning, did seven step prayer, got down on my knees and prayed. That means I'm not doing it alone. You know, when I just jump up and rush off to whatever I'm doing and don't even stop to pray, I'm doing it alone, right? So I'm inviting him to be a part of my life today. So thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Bruce E. Cynthia C., you're up next, and I'm just going to say that we are in the chapter A Vision for You, page 158, first paragraph, next day, found the prospect. Go ahead, Cynthia.
Hi, thank you so much, moderator, for your service and everybody for making this meeting happen today and every day. This is Cynthia C. in Newton, Massachusetts, or two Cynthia C.'s in Massachusetts. Oh my gosh, I was walking my dog when I hadn't been on the meeting in a few days. I was walking my dog when this passage was read, and oh my gosh, it hit my heart and it hit my soul. It was exactly what I needed, and I like rushed my dog home because I felt like I really needed to share today. So thank you so much. You know, God ought to be able to do anything. I love that. God ought to be able. He does, you know, and that he sure didn't do much for me when I was trying to fight this booze racket alone. I think about so much of my life, most of my life, when I was scrambling and fighting and feeling like I had to figure out my weight issue. I couldn't stop eating. And I couldn't stop eating. And, you know, and I tried exercise and 14 years Weight Watchers and intuitive eating classes and this and that and this and that. And I hated myself and I was beating up on myself. And I, oh my gosh, there were these lies and these fears that I was so trapped and stuck in that I couldn't come out of it. And I knew, like, I was in relapse for 20 years. I knew OA, I knew the 12 steps. Had a promise for you, but I just did not want to go here. I did not want to rely on you guys. I could do it on my own. You know, I really couldn't. I couldn't. And I finally hit my bottom, and I sat in my bedroom, you know, and just thought, oh, God, help me. Like, help me. I cannot do this on my own. And my 4.5+ years back in recovery now, it's just everything changes. And on a daily basis, you know, I get to rely on my higher power in new ways. And on a daily basis, I get to uncover more truths. And right now I'm also working Al-Anon, and my husband and I are in couples counseling, you know, and some of the truths and seeing my character defects and seeing how what were maybe my character defenses to survive as a child in a very violent and dysfunctional home have now become character defects and are harmful to myself and my family. You know, it's painful to see, but I thank God I have an 11th step every morning where I get to connect with God. I get to pray and meditate and do self-inventory in the morning and at night. And I don't have to figure this out on my own. Like that, I've been really, really focusing on it. I don't have to figure this out on my own. And my husband made this great suggestion of something for us to do that in my wildest dreams I would have never thought he would have suggested. But his budget for it is actually like too small. Like, I don't know if we can make it happen. And, you know, and I just realized this morning I was like beating up on myself. And I thought, you know, like, I don't have to figure this out. I can pray. I can ask God, like, what's right? Like, what do I do? Like, I don't have
time,
to...
please.
Thank you so much. I no longer have to figure this out. I'm no longer alone. Thank you so much. Thank you. I'll pass.
Thank you, Cynthia C. Elaine, would you like to press star one to unmute and share your...
This is Elaine from New York.
Thank you, Elaine. What's the first initial of your last name, Elaine?
G.
G. Thank you, Elaine. Go ahead.
Thank you. This really hit home for me, this paragraph, because this is exactly what I'm doing right now. I mean, I'm doing my will and expecting God to step in and stop me, right? And that's not happening. But I realize from the past that when I put in the effort and I actually ask God to help me, He does. My sponsor. She says, you really, you know, you got to stop doing it your way and do it God's way. I mean, like this kitchen that's not far from my living room, I think God's going to tell me, don't go in the kitchen there. No, I have to seek Him out. I have to seek God out and say, I really need help here. You know, really got to put in the effort and work the 12 steps. Or else I'm a goner, if I don't, you know. And then I suffer because I'm doing it my way, you know, which is relying on my disease, my disease there. I mean, I'm doing everything, like I tell my sponsor, but really relying on God, you know, for God to help me. I have to do it, or else nothing's going to happen here, and I'm going to go through one sponsor after another. And not so much that, but to give myself self-esteem, that I've been saying to myself, I can do it with God's help. Without God's help, I can't do anything. Can't do anything. Not a thing. And I got to become humble, really humble. And my sponsor, I don't know, she's getting disgusted with me, I think. And we were reading the big book, and then she said, we're not going to read the big book anymore. I says, oh. And because I think she thinks I'm not trying, I don't know. But then I got really upset about that, and I realized I have to really try my best. Try my best. Like, my life depends on it, and it does. My life really depends on it, because not reaching out to God and doing it on my own, I ended up with a heart condition, you know, because at the time it was like, I'm feeling terrible. Food will fix it. Food did not fix it. You know, I ended up suffering doing my own will and my own way, you know, and that's all. Thanks.
That's time.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much, Elaine. Danielle W., would you like to star one and share, please?
Good morning. This is Danielle W. from Southern California, recovered one day at a time. You know, in reading this, it really brings me back to my first few days in the room. I so relate to this idea that, you know, God can do anything. I thought that was true, and yet in my own life, I wasn't getting the help that I wanted. You know, and I think about all of the prayers over the years, you know, please don't let me go back into the kitchen for that fourth piece of pie, or please let tomorrow be different, or please let me lose this much weight before this event, you know. And I wasn't getting the help. But I realized today, I didn't have the language of love. I didn't understand the building blocks of a relationship, right? I just wanted a quick fix. And the beauty of this program is that it gently teaches us how to align ourselves with a power greater than ourselves. You know, I understand the language of surrender now. And I understand that I need to clean out the channel in order to feel God's presence and to be guided. And through this journey of healing and self-discovery, I just continue to get closer and closer to this power. Through service, I get to maintain that power. And I now, you know, my prayers are so different than they used to be. And I realize if I had been given, you know, if God had just done what I'd asked, right, blocked me from going back into that kitchen and eating that pie, I would have missed out on a completely different experience. You know, none of this healing and self-discovery and love for my, you know, fellows, I never would have had the beauty of that. I would have missed out completely on it. And so this, even though I believed in God, I knew that there was a God, and I knew that God was all-powerful. Now I get to align myself with that power rather than try to dictate it. And it's in the healing. It's in the cleaning out that channel. It's in the understanding where emotional buildup can be dangerous that I get to have freedom from food. And that all passed. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Danielle. And now Lorraine E., press star 1 to share with us, please.
Hi, my name's Lorraine E. Thank you so much for your service. This is my only third time on this meeting. I really love it. I love hearing all the recovery. I'm really strong. This was like someone else shared. This was a really brief paragraph, but there was a lot in it. And I think for me, it was just that idea that no longer was the solution in me. You know, my solution was always sickness. It was dysfunction. It was a sick mind. I did not have the solution. My way literally brought me closer to death with my health problems. But when I got outside of myself, when I surrendered to God's way, then all of a sudden, the recovery started, the healing started with that surrender. That surrender could only happen for me, though, if I became humble. I had to have humility, and I really had to see my arrogance. I was really arrogant. You know, I got sicker and sicker, and the disease got worse and worse. And the worse I got, the more in my sick mind I thought, oh, I can figure this out. I have the solution. I had anything but the solution. You know, my way just brought literal destruction. And really through that humility and surrender, like other people have shared, was I able to stop doing things my way. I became open to God's way and to the program's way and the steps. And in that, when I do that, when I surrender each morning, like other people have shared, that's what that prayer is. That is humility for me each day. It's starting the day saying, I can't do this. You take the wheel. But my program isn't just prayer. You know, the big book talks about action. I have to actually take action. And that's what I never did before. You know, I thought that the way to connect with God and to get recovered was just through prayer. And that is important, absolutely. But I actually have to take, you know, these 12 steps. They're not the 12, you know, thoughts or feelings. They're the 12 steps. They're 12 actions. And I have to do those 10, 11, and 12 each day. Take those actions, because those actions are my form of prayer. Taking those steps are my form of spirituality. So this was just a wonderful reading, and I'm so glad to be here. Please feel free to reach out. My phone number is 425-221-8105. It's Pacific Standard Time, and thanks for your service.
Thank you so much, Lorraine. Jody H., it's your turn to share with us. Please press star 1 to unmute.
Can you hear me okay?
I can.
All right. My name is Jody H. I'm a compulsive overeater from the state of Maine. I am so happy to be on this meeting today. This paragraph really spoke to me. When I, and probably I'm just repeating what some people have already said, but when I first realized that I needed to lose weight to even have surgery on my knee, because I was having a very difficult time walking, I was like, I prayed to my higher power, and I said, higher power, help me lose this 15 pounds. And all that I did was gain and gain and gain. And he certainly didn't do much for me, was the part of the paragraph that I really, that really stood out to me. And I prayed and prayed and prayed, but I didn't listen. And finally, I got to the weight where I realized I was not going to be able to walk. I was going to be in a wheelchair if I didn't have my knee replacement. And I said to myself, what should I do? And my higher power gently spoke to me within my heart and said, talk to so-and-so in another 12-step program that I was in. And I said, okay, I'll talk to her. She seems to have some kind of diet. I thought she was on a diet. Some kind of diet or something that's working for her. So I approached her after a meeting, and she said, no, it's Vision OA. And I'm like, oh, okay, send me the link and I'll check it out. And she goes, okay. So that's how I found my way to Vision in 2020. And since I know I haven't been in very long, since June of 2020, but I've learned to surrender. There's been times when I've had the best sponsors in the world, very patient sponsors. And my sponsor that I have now is wonderful. And I didn't always take Vision the way as a way of life, but sometimes I've taken it as a diet. And my higher power reminds me it's not a diet. It's an allergy. It's a mental twist. You've got to stay in the steps and in the big book and surrender. And my higher power now has spoken to me and said, don't give up. This program is for you. And that's how I've stayed in the program, through having very patient sponsors and through my higher power and my deepening relationship with him as I practice step 11. And I guess that's all I got for today. Thank you so much for your service, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Jody. Wendy, please press star 1 and share with us.
Good morning. This is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona. And, you know, just like everybody else is talking about, the line where he says, you sure didn't do much for me when I was trying to fight this booze racket alone. And, you know, it just reminds me of all the things I tried, you know, to manage this disease before I surrendered to God, being in control. You know, all of the self-help books I read, all the diets I went on, you know, even, you know, my early days in program when I was working at like a diet with group support, you know, I wanted God to bless my efforts, you know, to fix the problem. And I still wanted to be in control. And, you know, and then I blamed him because he didn't give me what I wanted, you know, a thin body while I still being able to eat whatever I wanted. And, you know, food was still my God. And the thing about God is, you know, he doesn't play by my rules. You know, he's the creator, the director of everything, you know, and I needed to align myself with his rules, his laws of nature, his laws of cause and effect, you know, and I needed to see what a mess I made of my life, you know, running it into the ground and, you know, admit defeat, you know, surrender to his lordship, you know. And I love how in this paragraph his mind opened a bit, you know. He said, maybe you're right. Maybe God can fix this addiction, you know. And we get to trust God's timing. You know, he shows us truth when we're ready to receive it. And he allows us to make our mistakes and our bad choices and reap the consequences so we can get willing to be changed, you know, get willing to do the work necessary. And thank you for letting me share.
Alice, we can't hear you.
Can't hear you.
Press star one, Alice. Was there someone else in line to share?
I'm sorry, I'm back. I got kicked off. Thank you, Wendy. Barbara W., you were up next.
Yes, the Barbara W., I know I was on the list.
Okay, go ahead, Barbara. Thank you.
Thank you so much. My name is Barbara W., and I am from a recovered compulsive overeater in Seattle, Washington. I couldn't help but jump in on this paragraph. I'm 76 years old, and for years, I thought I could do it myself and had so many relapses, I lost count. And I've been single for the last, I realized, 30 years. And, you know, gosh, I could figure this out. I've been living my life for 30 years on my own. I should be able to figure this out somehow. I went to college, you know, and I realized that nothing was working. I wasn't working a program of recovery. And about 2 years ago, the light must have gone on, and being in my mid-70s, and I go, oh, do I want to live out my old age, barely able to walk or whatever? And I have a former sponsor who finally said, Barbara, I'm strictly vision, and it was evident it was working, because I know she's a 5 years older than I am, and she sounded vibrant and happy, and I went, I've got to investigate this thing. And finally, about a little less than 2 years ago, I looked into it, and I sat there, and see, I came in 1977 when all we had was the big book in the 12 and 12, and so I'll try. And I sat in on just a couple of meetings on the phone and listened as they were doing paragraph by paragraph. And I heard the energy. I heard the shares that were of recovery and of hope for me. And I finally said, you know, I think this may be my answer. So at least I was jumping in and gave it my all. And on January 1st, I celebrated 20 months of abstinence. Oh gosh, I'm so excited. And the holidays weren't a time for me to think I had to have extra food. I was not even in a place of having to, end quotes, be neutral towards it. It was basically me. So if I went into a store, it's up to me. So
that's time,
I am
please.
So grateful. Yes, I'll wrap up. I'm so grateful that I made a choice to stay with the big book, to know the answers are in the big book, and how much I have accelerated my recovery because of that. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Barbara. We have time for about three more shares. We're on page 158, first paragraph, next day found the prospect. And please be aware that if you've shared in the last 3 days, we'd like you to hold off and let someone else share. Press star 1 to unmute if I can have three people that would like to share with us.
Dabber M.
Aliyah A.
Alexis S. from New Jersey.
Aliyah
okay.
A.
Gavilan M, I didn't get the second name. I'm sorry. Star 1 to unmute. Kimber
Alexis F. from New Jersey.
Aliyah, I think I heard.
Yep, Aliyah.
Alexis.
And Alexis. Okay, we'll go with that for this morning. If we have time for one more, I'll let you know. Start with Gavilan M. Please, star 1 to unmute your phone and share with us.
Thank you so much, Alice. My name is Davilan E. from Manitoba, Canada.
Davilan, I think we lost you. Can you press star 1 again to unmute?
My apologies. Davilan E. from Manitoba, Canada. This paragraph brought to my mind surrender, and that's just recently after 7 years in OA that I've actually learned, I think, what surrender is. And I realized it wasn't about surrendering the food, my actions, I do what I'm told, etc., but it was about surrendering the idea that I actually know better than God. It has taken me a long time to realize that God knows what I need. I don't need to tell God what I need and then ask him to do it for me. I just need to surrender that God knows what I need, and I need to ask him in every part of my life. And this paragraph just to me was the very beginning of surrender. With that, I will thank you for listening and pass.
Thank you so much, Gavilan. Aliyah? Would you please press star 1 and share with us today?
Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay, great. So my name is Aliyah A, and I'm a compulsive overeater from Montreal, Canada. So yes, this paragraph is great, and thank you all for your service. And God ought to be able to do anything. And when I first got into the program 5 years ago, I really didn't believe that God could help me with the food and he could help me with all my affairs. And slowly he revealed to me through the program and through being very willing and honest to do the work in the last 5 years, he revealed to me that it's possible and that he can do anything. But the first few years of my recovery, I didn't put my trust in God. I didn't really believe and surrender. But the more I put the effort and the work in and taking the actions, I learned how to surrender, and I learned what it meant to surrender. And I'm still learning. You know, I was still relying on myself, and I thought that, you know, I could do it by myself. But God really proved to me otherwise, and that he knows, you know, what's best for me. And the third step prayer tell me that I have to, you know, it's not my will, but it's God's will that will happen. And I had to surrender to that idea and let God take control. And it's not always easy, because I sometimes try to take control. But this program reminds me that really I'm not in control of anything. So I'm very grateful to be here. I'm very grateful for all of you, the OA fellows that have helped me through my recovery. And I'm continuing to learn and to growing spiritually. And this program is just amazing. So thank you for letting me share, and I will pass.
Thank you so much, Aliyah. Alexis, press star 1 to share with us, please.
It's Alexis F. in New Jersey. To this paragraph means to me the beginning of awareness. And awareness is the beginning of making decisions, I feel, for me. I used to think the fear of God meant, you know, that I had to be really afraid of him because that's the way I grew up in the religion that I was taught. I had to have this this fear of being punished. And the relationship that I have with God now is more experiencing him. As I looked into the past for most of my life, I had no gratitude to my mother and father for what they did for me. And I looked at God as I looked at my mother and father. And it brought about a lot of pain in my own life. So I had to look into myself and into my own humanity before I could accept God as a reality outside myself. I remember when I gave up another addiction that was very, very strong and that I did day and night. I had to ask God. I said, oh, my God, what am I going to do? Because I really can't stop doing this. And I never did it again. And the results of it, the consequences of it, and the thinking how grateful I was that I wasn't doing that anymore, and the social consequences of it, and all the consequences to myself and to my relationship with God made me such a better person and so much easier for me to get along in this world, and that's what God wants. With food, I looked for comfort. I always wanted to be more comfortable, and I looked for comfort foods, and I found great solace in them. Now I look for comfort in seeking, and I think that real amazement, and that's what I have now for nature, and amazement for what God can do, and relieving me of some of my character defects. Still, on a daily basis, like the 12 and 12 says, and the big book, we only have a daily reprieve according to our spiritual condition. And according to my spiritual condition, I'm grateful that God is relieving me of as much as he is for you people. Thank you.
Next time, please. Thank you so much, Alexis. We have time for about a 2-minute share if one person would like to take it today. Star one to unmute. Anybody want a 2-minute share?
Hi, this is Donna.
Hi, Donna.
Donna L. Florida.
Thank you.
Okay. Where it says, maybe you're right, God ought to be able to do anything. Well, first of all, he sure didn't do much for me when I was trying to fight the food habit. And I prayed a lot and asked God, please help me. I bargained with him. If I eat correctly, if I don't eat the wrong foods, will you make my husband well? And none of that worked. And then the other thing is, maybe you're right, God ought to be able to do anything. And he is able to do anything because he led me to this program where now I do have control of my food through God, my higher power, and the 12 steps and the big book. So he was able to do that. But even above all that, when I have a problem or a situation that I can't seem to handle, I don't know what to do. And then I give it to God, and he comes up with something that I never thought of. It never occurred to me, and he has the answer for me. So he is able to do anything, and he will if you ask him. So thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Donna L. Thank you all for being on the meeting with us today. I'd like to thank our readers, Penny L. C., Rachel P., Jody E., The 12 Steps, Linda B., Joanne L. on The 12 Traditions, and our newcomer greeter, Mary B., and announcements, Shelley E. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Rachel P., can you please read a vision for you? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Good morning. This is Rachel P., recovered compulsive overeater in Denver, Colorado. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize you know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is so sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.